Good evening, friends. This is Howard Pyle reporting for the Valley National Bank to the people of Arizona directly from the United Nations Conference in San Francisco. By now, most all of you know what brought me to the city by the Golden Gate for this all-important gathering of representatives from the 46 United Nations of the world. Recognizing the urgency of this historic meeting, the Valley National Bank reasoned that someone from Arizona should attend. Someone who could offer a series of daily observations that would keep every citizen of our state in close personal touch with the spirit and purpose of this vital conference. Without the slightest hesitation, the arrangements were completed, and for a week now, at 7:45 each morning, I have been privileged to send you my personal impressions of what has been going on here. What a pleasure it is to do business with an organization that is constantly on the alert for new ways to be of service. No institution in Arizona has a finer reputation for progressiveness than the Valley National Bank. Its 20 friendly, convenient offices in Arizona are the perfect personification of a public relations policy that is determined to give first consideration to the people wherever they are. If you are one of the Valley Bank's more than 140,000 customers, you are associated with Arizona's largest financial institution. You are assured of its cooperation in any of the many ways in which your bank should be and is at your service. For me, this has been one of those days one never forgets. And before I say goodnight to you, I'm going to tell you why. Many of you will be especially interested, I know. Right now, I want you to meet by transcription one of the most charming and able announcers in the business.
Shall it be Ben or Mr. Grower?
Who, me?
Hello, Howard. There's so much diplomatic going on about here.
You'll be that old devil,
yes,
protocol.
That's right.
You know, the State Department has 63 offices. They've got a protocol officer, and then there's an officer who sets up the protocol for the protocol officer.
And so on, ad infinitum.
Well, my name's Grower. What's yours?
Mr. Grower, Howard.
Hello.
I'm very happy to see you again, as I have at the NBC box in the Opera House. And as long as you had a ringside seat... give me your impression of the conference from the bald head straight on back to the top row.
The minute you say bald head, one thinks inevitably of Pedro Velloso, the foreign minister of Brazil, who made his speech at the plenary session yesterday. Did you happen to see him?
I saw him.
There is, without question, one of the most interesting-looking gentlemen and one of the baldest heads I ever saw.
Shines just like a dollar.
You know, those newsreel lights, because they have to have so much illumination there to pick up the people on the platform from way back at the boxes, are brilliant enough, but when they reflect it off the skilled, learned cranium of Mr. Velloso, it's a dazzling picture.
Well, I felt, really, that I had something in common with some of the delegates as I looked down on their heads.
Well, you and I have still a little way to go, however.
Well, I hope. You're better off than I am,
I hope. Well, let's see. What'll I talk about?
Well, I'd like to have you give the audience your personal impression. Are you optimistic, or are you, like the rest of us, wondering what's going to happen next?
About the conference, you mean?
Yes.
I think I'm optimistic. I think the hesitancy and jockeying of the past 2 days, after all, the conference is physically only 2 days old. This is the third full day of its deliberations. I think they're not significant in the long run. I think it's a little feeling out for power and position among the three or four major powers that are here. Just as kind of an establishment of personality. After all, Molotov is meeting Eden, and Eden is meeting Sung, and Sung is meeting the others, relatively for the first time in full steam, because Yalta and Tehran and Moscow were relatively smaller meetings, and so they're just kind of feeling each other out and finding which way they're going. I'd say it's something like if you're taking a camping trip with a guy, the first day or two, you kind of get to know him, you'd want to see how he shoots the rapids and how he handles a boat, and then you're pals.
But isn't it true that these fellows have all met before?
Yes, they have met before, but they've met before in smaller groups. This is with the full import of these national delegations of each of the nations they represent.
A lot of pressure on.
There's a lot of pressure on everybody. I think the man that's standing up beautifully under the pressure, which undoubtedly focuses on him, is Secretary Edward Stettinius. I saw him yesterday, talked with him for about 5 minutes, very informally, after he'd finished his formal conference to the press, and I noticed with his unseamed face and buoyant manner that he's standing the pressure better than any of us.
Typically, I'm
better than the press.
I think that better than the radio. I'm bending myself a little bit, and I don't know about you, but I suspect that you're beginning to have
idea
of this sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's see. The picture from the NBC booth in the Golden Horseshoe of the San Francisco Opera House, it puts us right in the center of the plenary sessions and gives you a real feeling of the conference. Just below us, we're on the first balcony, or the row of boxes, just about 10 or 15 feet below us, is the floor of the convention conference auditorium itself, the Opera House. We're right in close with all the delegates. We can see Molotov bending over and talking to his interpreter if the speeches are in English. Right alongside the other aisle is Eden, and just behind Eden, the American delegation, Stassen and Dean Gildersleeve and so on. And you get a chance to get a feeling of informality with these men, watching them as they watch the delegation, watch the conference itself.
You learn, I think, from your point of vantage, just how really human they are. They fidget.
Sure. They, I saw Eden yawn yesterday.
Oh, that's unforgivable.
It was just a pause between one of the perorations of one of the speakers, and some of it has to be sort of formal talk and so on until each of these delegations has made its formal presentation to the conference itself.
Would you say that this is about the most tremendous thing you've ever covered?
It's the biggest thing for me in many ways. Naturally, I've never seen a conference like this. I think most of the members of the press and radio here haven't. There hasn't been anything like this since Versailles, and so most of them would be excluded on that score. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen, and also it's my first visit not only to San Francisco, but to the West.
Incidentally, you're missing Atlantic Spotlight, aren't you, while you're out
I
here?
Heard the last 3 minutes of it just a few minutes ago.
Oh.
I wanted to leap through the receiver and get in there and say, hello, Leslie Mitchell in London.
That's a fine gesture.
Well, I like the show very much, and I enjoy doing it. But as I say, this is the first time I've ever been in the West or in San Francisco, and this is a delightful place.
Beautiful. The weather's been marvelous.
Nice place to come when there's no conference.
Oh, we'll try that sometime. Well, thanks a lot, Ben.
Fine. Thank you, Howard Pyle.
Friends, it's men like Ben Grauer, one of NBC's top staff announcers, who make radio such a genuine pleasure in these modern and very eventful times. I hope you heard Ben Grauer's coverage of the opening plenary session of the United Nations Conference directly from the War Memorial Opera House here in San Francisco. It was a masterpiece, a real tribute to the superb talent of this very personable young man. During these past few days, I have spent many delightful hours with another personality well known to all of you, John Walt, the popular Richfield Reporter.
John, it's very nice to see you here in San Francisco.
Well, Howard, it's very pleasant seeing you again and renewing a lot of friendships and talking over the old days in Arizona. The last time we saw each other, I think, was over in your Sunshine State several years ago, wasn't it?
I might say, John, that the folks in Arizona have never forgotten your visit and that of Wayne Miller. And I believe Don Forbes was along, too.
That's right.
You made a trip to Prescott, did you not?
That's right. Made a trip to Prescott. I have pleasant memories of Prescott. We had a very fine luncheon in our honor, and were given one of these copper... it can be used as an ashtray or something.
I see.
Like that, but I still have that around the house to remind me of many pleasant days in Arizona.
Well, it'll interest you to know that the Richfield Reporter is just about the most popular newscast we have in Arizona.
Well, that's very nice of you. We put a lot of work in on it.
How long has the program been on the air?
Well, last week, we started our 15th year.
And you've been associated with it how long?
I've been I started my 9th year. So, I'm getting to be kind of an old man, huh?
You don't look it at all. Your hair's just as red as it was the last time I saw you.
Well, I'd like to get over and have it bleached out a little bit in that Arizona sun.
John, what do you think of the conference?
Well, Howard, to be perfectly honest, I came up here a little, perhaps a little cynical about it all. But when you sit in on those sessions and you actually see these men at work, you're truly convinced of their seriousness and they're well-meaning. I expected a lot of high-sounding words and a lot of social activity. And instead of that, these delegates are really getting down to work. And as the days go by, I'm becoming more and more optimistic that something really fine will come out of this conference. And I was particularly taken by the remarks of Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, Ford, yesterday, when he made us all realize that although the machinery is being set up, that they're on untried ground, practically. And it may take some time for the organization to be completed. He compared the framework of the organization, the Dumbarton Oaks proposals, and so on, to our original Constitution, and the fact that our Constitution was quite a model at that time, but within a matter of 2 years, there were already some 4 amendments to it. So although we can't expect perfection, perhaps, in the first few days of the working out of this world machinery, I'm positive that we are making a great stride toward a better world.
You're convinced, then, that the spirit of the thing is here?
Oh, indeed, indeed. And on the part of everyone, there's a lot of distrust in the world of all nations, but I think we're breaking that down. It's a, you realize, of course, what a terrific thrill it is to actually see these men you've been reading about and hearing about. It was hard to convince myself that it wasn't just a Hollywood movie set, that here were the great figures of the world setting up machinery for a better world.
And you know, John, the thing that appeals to me most of all is the fact that every day, more and more, I discover that they're just human beings like we
are. That's right.
I mean, they're not Superman.
No.
Bound to make a few errors, I suppose, along the way, and as a result, be subject to all the criticisms that folks like us would toss at them without any regard whatsoever for their human nature and so forth. John, how long do you expect to be around?
I doubt if we'll stay up here more than another week. I think in the first 2 weeks here, we'll be able to cover the ground pretty well. It may be necessary later on, if the conference drags out for many more weeks, to come up again. And in other words, our job is to do as good a job as possible for our listeners. And if we're here on the spot, we can perhaps give them a better picture of the conference than we could from Hollywood.
Well, I'll say this. You fellows have been hard at it. Wayne Miller's been standing over those teletypes here at NBC, just like it was a life and death matter. I've seen you in and around the conference so frequently that it's almost like old home week every time I come around a familiar pillar. John, any special message for Arizona before we sign off?
Well, the weather here in San Francisco...
Now. That's
it's
not
really
fair.
Been very bright and sunny.
It has been
today,
beautiful. I'll admit that, even as a staunch Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly do hope I get back to Arizona sometime again soon and renew a lot of the old friendships we made in our trips over there in the past, and take in Prescott and Tucson and Yuma again, and get to see a lot of really fine, fine people.
John, you'll always be welcome in Arizona. Thank you very much.
Friends, John Wald is one of the sincerest men I have ever known. He and his associates, Don Forbes and editor Wayne Miller, are widely recognized as one of the top news teams in the business. Whatever impressions they give you of the United Nations conference here in San Francisco can be relied upon to the absolute limit. Here is an interesting little story told to me the other afternoon by John Wald, the evening before he had stopped for a moment in one of San Francisco's popular rendezvous. Standing near him was a WAVE lieutenant who smiled as he noticed her and said, "Do you mind if I talk to you?" She said, "I just arrived from Guam by plane." John, pleased with her wholesome friendliness, was tickled pink to have a chance to talk to her. In a few minutes, another WAVE lieutenant just in from Pearl Harbor joined the party, and the conversation rolled merrily on. Soon, an ensign stepped up, greeted the trio in a very gentlemanly manner, and announced that it was the last evening of his leave. "Where to now?" said one of the WAVES. "Guam," replied the ensign. "Oh," she said, "I'll be there in about a week, I think a week from Sunday." "How about a date?" quickly inquired the young officer. "Okay," said she, just like that. John excused himself at that point and walked away mumbling to himself, and I thought I was doing some traveling when I left Hollywood to cover the United Nations conference in San Francisco. Friends, this is not yesterday's world. Yesterday's travel troubles, yesterday's communication delays are a thing of the past. So are yesterday's impressions about banks and bankers. Today, the Valley National Bank, with its 20 friendly, convenient offices in Arizona, is writing the very latest chapter of its kind in the record book of Arizona business. No longer does the small or big businessman have to feel reluctant about discussions of financing. He can walk into the nearest office of the Valley National Bank and know that his problem will be welcomed. The management and personnel of the Valley Bank know that in the present and post-war periods, with their many problems and opportunities, an easy teamwork between business and banking can mean prompt economic recovery. No matter how small or how large your organization may be, whether you have a one-man shop or employ hundreds of people, whether you're in business for 50 years or whether you're only planning to go into business, the Valley National Bank is ready to help you with any and all of your banking problems. Stop in tomorrow.